All glad that you're here today. 2 weeks ago, we had our last sermon from Pastor Andre, and he's moving on in the conference, and today we have a new interim pastor, Pastor Gary Evans, and he didn't give me a little bulletin about his credentials or his whatever, so I'm going to give you my version. When I was a little kid, this big, and I remember significant things that happened, his father was the minister here in Sutherland. But when he was that little too, his father died suddenly and was taken away from the family. And so he was raised by his mother. Now his mother worked every single camp meeting up at camp meeting in the camp meeting store. And I remember growing up year after year after year, getting bigger and seeing her every single camp meeting. And it was so reassuring because she had such a wonderful demeanor, wonderful smile, wonderful encouragement. And I know that she passed that down to her children. Anyway, the conference has asked Gary to be the interim pastor of our church, and that is a wonderful blessing that we are able to have someone without a delay for 6 months to a year or more. So praise the Lord. So we're happy that we have Gary Evans here today, and if he wants to tell anything else about himself, that's good, because that's my version. I'm going to read 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that means all of us here as believers, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Amen.
Thank you, Dr. Luke. Well, every word he said was true. I could tell you a lot more, but maybe we'll spare that for another time. But it is a privilege and a joy to be asked to come down and to stand in for a while here, don't know for how long, to minister and to be a friend and a fellow traveler with you folks. So I'm sure that we'll have a lot of fun getting to know each other and just seeing exactly what God is doing, and we're going to follow wherever he goes. And so until he comes back, may all power and glory and praise go to him. It is wonderful to be here. So happy Sabbath. Is it fair to say happy New Year? Okay, it's not the first Sabbath of the new year, I understand. But we're still in January, so you'll let me get away with it. Because it is a new year, right? And if you noticed, I did call my thoughts today, another fresh start. Are you ready for a fresh start? I don't know, I'm kind of tired of 2021. And we pray 2022 will get better, but maybe we'll talk about that and see where that's going. You may have heard this before, but I love the story. In France, long ago, there was a poor young girl who lost her eyesight in a terrible tragedy. She was one who loved her Lord, though, and through great difficulty, she was able to obtain a copy of the Gospel of Mark in raised letters. And she taught herself how to read it by feeling the raised letters with the tips of her fingers. It wasn't too long, though, when by her difficult life and her constant reading, her fingers got more and more calloused until the sense of touch was all but gone. She could no longer feel the letters. One day, in desperation, and remember, this young gal had no eyesight, she got a hold of a razor blade, and she cut the skin from the ends of her fingers, hoping to increase their sensitivity, only to find to her horror that she had destroyed it completely. Devastated, she felt that she now must give up her most beloved book, and weeping, she pressed it to her lips, saying, "Farewell, farewell, sweet word of my heavenly Father." But to her surprise, her lips, much more delicate than her fingers, could discern the form of the letters. And from that night on, she taught herself again to read with her lips the raised letters of the Word of God. And she was overjoyed with this new start, with her abilities to again be able to read the gospel. And it makes me wonder, friends, do we take this book too much for granted? Are we sometimes neglectful of this wonderful record of past new starts and new beginnings and the promises of our future new and great starts? Because from cover to cover, the Bible is full of accounts of new starts and new beginnings. Today, I'd like to examine, reflect back on some of these accounts and just see if they can expand our understanding of God and how He's tirelessly working for our salvation. So let's go back in time. Let's go back. Let's try Genesis 1:1. Can't get further back than that, can you? Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning," you know what? "God created heavens and the earth." Oh, I love the sound of Bible pages turning. Please bring your Bibles when I'm around. We love to open the Word of God. Amen? Here we find God is starting to form this sphere, this home, for His crowning act of creation, the formation of mankind. And notice the description is told here in Genesis 1 that God prepared fully a magnificent place for us to live in. We think it's beautiful now, and it is in many ways, but it is old and decrepit and struggling under the weight of sin. To imagine what it was coming from the hand of the Creator, it must have been just glorious. And God created it in order, in harmony, and in logic. He didn't create land animals before there were land. He didn't create living creatures before there was an atmosphere to sustain life. He didn't put mankind here until it was all ready for Him. And then He topped it off with the jewels of His creation. If you think I'm being arrogant, let's look at Genesis 1, starting in verse 26. Genesis 1:26 says, "And God said, 'Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth.'" So God created man in the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth on the earth." So it is fair to say that we are the crowning jewel of this creation. We're created in God's own image. That in itself we could spend a month on. We were blessed by our very creators. The very beings that were created in God's image can, I think, thus safely be called the jewels of His creation. You agree? And then to think that God Himself, our Creator, came down in the cool of the evening and walked beside Adam and Eve and talked with Adam and Eve. Won't that be wonderful to do that again one day? I dream of the day when I'm hoping this is going to happen, that we're going to, by His grace, be in heaven one day. We'll have our homes in the country and in the city. And I just think about being in the country, and I'll have a huge home for all the animals I can stuff in there because I love them. And one day I'm going to hear a, and I'll go around the corner of the door, and here's Jesus. And He says, "Come on, Gary, let's go for a walk today." And can walk with Him and let Him unfold how He's worked in your life and what He's done, and just to walk and converse with God. What a privilege that is. One day it will be ours again. But we're not there yet. We know that the terrible day came when God came to visit His creation in the cool of the day. And what did Adam and Eve do? They ducked behind the bushes, right? They tried to hide from Him, which is really kind of silly because you can't hide from God, right? But God called them out. And I think that's no small thing. In Genesis 3, verse 9, He calls out and He asks them, "Where art thou?" He knew very well where they were, right? But we see right here from the start that God seeks out man. in this case, sinful man, because the first time he hid from him was after sin. And right from the tragic beginning of separation, God is seeking us. He's asking questions. He's searching us out. He wants nothing more than for you to come back into harmony with him so that he can hold you in his arms and hold you and take you into eternity with him. But mankind began lying, accusing others, trying to hide from God right there in the Garden of Eden. And we're still doing it today, aren't we? How sad. Oh, but what a wonderful new start at the beginning of creation. What wonderful things God wanted for us. He had planned for us. And can you think of a better way to start than the pure creation of God? Of course not. Because, friends, God always, always does his best, and he always does what's best for us. The question begs me then, shouldn't we always try to do our best to come fully and completely to God and follow his original plans for us? Oh, but Genesis carries the story of our turning from God's ways and falling in Satan's tricks. It's only a few chapters on in Genesis 6. We see how quickly we fall when we're separated from God. Genesis 6, starting in verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. The Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made him. Praise God for verse 8. But Noah found what? Grace in the eyes of the Lord. Yes, how weak and feeble we are without our connection to God. But praise the Lord for Noah. Noah found grace through the eyes of the Lord. And in verse 9, it says why? It says because Noah was a just and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. That's a rich phrase, isn't it? He walked with God. Reminds me of an Amos 3:3 where the Bible says, can two walk together unless they be agreed? Where the Bible tells us we shouldn't be unequally yoked. You can't put two animals in a yoke going different directions. It doesn't work. You can't walk along with God unless you're going along with God. But you all know how the story unfolds, how Noah preached for 120 years, right? To no avail, at least at the time the rain began. Only his family went into the ark. The only ones who believed in and followed the Lord, and all else was lost. Can't imagine what that was like. Their hearts must have been broken. But God protected that ark, floating on this flood of unimaginable destruction that happened on this planet at that time. But eventually, the waters receded, and we find God giving us another new beginning. Notice what Noah did when he left the ark in Genesis chapter 8. Genesis chapter 8, verse 20. And Noah built an altar unto the Lord. And it took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings unto the Lord. First thing Noah did was he worshiped God. And the Lord made a covenant or a promise with him. And that's recorded in chapter 9, Genesis here, starting in verse 11. For God says, and I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. Neither shall there be any more a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the clouds. And it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. But that promise sounded pretty good after what they just went through. Never again would God destroy all life before the end of time. And through the three sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, all of the earth is populated. We're all brothers and sisters. All of humanity, every race, every kindred, every tongue, every people are descended from Noah. That should enrichen our lives and how we interact with people to realize everybody is our brother and sister. We're all related. Here God said, so to speak, he said, I'll give you a new start, a new beginning. I'll wipe sin from the world and I'll take and set just 8 people who believe in me down on dry land and give mankind another chance to follow me. What a wonderful chance. What a God. Loves us so much. Another new start. How he continually strives to win back fallen man. How loving can one be? How right it is. The Bible tells us that God is love. 1 John 4:8. He once again provided all that mankind needed after the flood for his good. But we only need to turn to chapter 11 to find that they degraded to such a level they thought that they were going to build a tower so high that God himself couldn't destroy them. And they were going to make themselves a name. Oh, how we like that. We plaster our names on buildings and have them here and there. We want to make ourselves a name. And here's the Tower of Babel, where the Lord confused their languages because they were all huddled together and bad was happening. God says, we need to populate the earth. We need to destroy this planet that they're all building on. He confounded their languages. They could not understand one another, and that's what drove them in people groups around the planet. Thus, another new beginning, wasted away. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? I think the lesson of it here that we can take home is we are no match for Satan. But praise the Lord that God is loving, patient, searching, longing for his creation to come back to him. The Bible is just stuffed full of examples of new beginnings and new opportunities God has given us. But undoubtedly, the most important, we might say, new start that God offers us today is the decision we have to accept God into our life and to give him total control of our life. When we decide to let go of the world's ways and habits and cling to the Lord's directions and claim his power and his promises into our lives, we have to let go of the old ways. And we have to let that old life die. So then we become a new person in Christ. This is what we call being born again, right? A new beginning of utmost importance, for this is the beginning, actually, of eternal life. When you stay with Jesus, he says, I'll take you clear to the finish. And there's no other way to victory. 2 Corinthians 5:17, the beautiful phrase, there if, how many people? Any. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away except a few we like to hang on to. No. All things are passed away. That's all of them. Behold, all things are become new in Christ. Praise the Lord. So friends, why is this new birth the beginning of forever? Well, Nicodemus is a good example of that. He had to learn that. If you turn to John chapter 3, verse 3, we find the story of Nicodemus. When he asked him, started questioning him there, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Pretty black and white, isn't it? And I can imagine Nicodemus' surprise and shock. I mean, and he said so right here. He couldn't understand how a man could have two beginnings. I mean, he understood the birth of a child, and how in the world are you going to have two of them being born twice? That didn't make sense. But Jesus made it very plain to him then. He's speaking of a spiritual birth, a change of heart. And here in John 3, starting in verse 5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of what? Of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. For that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. This rebirth, this new beginning, is brought about only by the Holy Spirit. When a sinful human truly believes in Jesus Christ as their Savior and accepts him to be Lord of his life. Don't forget, it's more than just believing in Jesus Christ, because the Bible even tells us the devils believe in Jesus and tremble. Satan lived with Jesus for we don't know how long and still knows him. And he's not on his side. So it's more than just believing. We need that new birth of heart. And when the sinner looks at Jesus dying on the cross for him, and you understand that he's taking the penalty for our sin and giving us that opportunity to take his free gift and let him live within us, and we then have a realization what forgiven means, our hearts are changed. And it goes down deeper than just believing in 27 or 28 fundamental doctrines or a membership in a church. It's a heart issue that is deep in us. That's when you're born again and you begin to live in Christ. And when we read more of the words of Christ in his night talk here with this rabbi, Nicodemus, remember, he was a learned guy. He was a Pharisee. He was a ruler of the Jews. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. We see that it isn't something that we actually can do. Only by believing in Christ and following him and the rebirth of the Holy Spirit in our life and the carrying of our cross and surrendering everything else, we find eternal life. Let's read John 3, verses 14 and 15. Jesus said, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." What a sweet promise. Because when you are truly born again, and like I said, it doesn't mean becoming a member of a church. We're not saved by membership. You can be a member of any church, friends, and not be truly born again in your heart. But when you fall in love with the Lord and you truly turn all aspects of your life over to God and are born again, you have eternal life. You have it by faith. And my friends, that's the new fresh start of forever that I desire each of you and many more to hear and learn and follow and have. Well, now it's true, you may fall asleep in death and rest a while before the New Jerusalem, but we are told you will never perish. I looked at a little word perish up in Webster's dictionary, and it literally means to become destroyed. So if you truly believe in Christ, you will follow him in thoughts and deeds and in every action, because his character will start to be living within you. That's why obedience is a gift from God. When your heart is converted and he lives within you, your joy is to follow him. Jesus' joy wasn't doing what the Father said, right? So obedience, yeah, it's important, but that's because it reflects what's in the heart. You're not saved by obedience. Your salvation is a gift of God. The changed heart and God's character living within you brings about the fruit of that new birth. That is salvation. Because if you truly believe, you will follow him in thoughts, deeds, and actions, and you will then follow his commandments. You know, John 14, 15, it's more of a promise than a command, but it comes across as a command. Jesus says, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." I like to think of it because of once Christ is living within us, if you love me, you're going to want to keep my commandments. It's a joy. You can reflect God's character. You turn to John 15, verse 10. Again, he says, if, there's that big little word, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. He makes it real plain for us, doesn't he? There's no guessing. Those who truly believe in him, have him alive in your hearts, you will desire to obey him. You will want to lay off everything of this sinful world and prepare to meet him. Those people he calls his sheep, his people. Turn back to John 10, starting in verse 27. He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they," what? "Follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never be destroyed, perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand, for my Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand, for I and my Father are one. Wow, powerful verses. And that never perish there in verse 28, that never perish is the beginning of eternal life. Amen? True story. Some years ago, there was a great deal of opposition to the Adventist message in the Balkan countries. It was against the law, even, to baptize people into the Seventh-day Adventist Church there at that time. So all baptismal services were held in secret. It had to be. And one day, a baptism had been arranged. And a goodly number of believers had assembled in this one spot. And despite all their efforts, though, to keep this appointment a secret, soldiers appeared with their weapons just as the minister was taking one of the candidates down into the water. "What's going on here?" the officer demanded. The minister had to think quickly. "He said, 'Oh, sir,' he replied, 'this man here I have in the water, he's been really sick. I mean, he drank liquor, and the more he drank, the worse he got. His family have carried a really heavy burden. And I have a cure for his illness. I'm going to perform this cure, and when I pray and I put him down under the water, the evil spirit and his illness will leave him. He will become well, and his family will be happy again.'" The officer stood there a minute and scratched his chin and appeared to understand. He goes, "Well, by all means then, if you can cure him with your treatment, go ahead and do it. I wish many more people here would take that same cure." Little did he know the truth he spoke. Yes, friends, we all need that cure. To die daily to our Lord's directions and commands. To let his power into our life fresh and live in it moment by moment. To walk with God throughout every day of your life. It's a daily thing. In everyone's life, including myself, everybody. To start every day with a fresh new start with your Lord. And ask him to walk with you. And then be aware and listen and be in a continual state of prayer and rejoicing always. And the Lord will guide you through your days. Well, the most important new start we're all looking forward to, of course, is the return of our Savior. Amen? So let's turn to Revelation 19. And let's start in verse 11. "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Powerful. What a wonderful experience that will be. 1 Corinthians 15:52 describes that awesome time too, when it says, "In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." That's a promise. Verse 55, the sweetest in there. "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Because the Lord has just conquered it all." Yes, our victorious King will return for his people, and even death itself will cease to exist. Oh, glorious day. A new, truly magnificent beginning of our time with our King and our Savior. Our last new beginning here in closing is Revelation 21. There's much here we could read and dive into, but today we're just looking at the overview. Starting in verse 1 of Revelation 21 says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away every tear, right? All tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, nor shall there be any more pain, because the former things have passed away. I love this one. He that sat upon the throne said, I can just see him speaking to John here, saying, Behold, I make all things new. And then he says, And he turned to me, that would be John, and I can just see maybe the finger of God, and he says, Write, for these words are true and faithful. It's like an exclamation point at the period. What a wonderful time. Because that, friends, brings us all the way back into the condition and the place God wanted us to be in the very beginning, like we read in Genesis. Everything in between is just a little minuscule point in time compared to the vast eternity that is promised to those who will follow him. Why would we get so caught up in things of this world when we have eternity free of charge? He has done and he's doing everything he can to give you and me that new start. And as your at least interim pastor here for a while, I pray that each and every one of us will prayerfully go to our knees and seek the Lord's help in the coming days. Ask him to show each and every one of us anything and everything that may lie between us and our Savior. It reminds me of a cute little story. There was this church group that had prayer meeting, and the same group would come, and this little boy was there, and also this elderly lady. And bless her heart, every time she prayed, she would always, in part of her prayer, she would come to a point, and she would say, Lord, sweep the cobwebs of sin from my heart. And she would say that every week, on and on. This little boy must have been thinking about it. And sure enough, came the next week, and she again, bless her heart, came to that point in her prayer, and she says, Lord, sweep the cobwebs of sin from my heart. And he piped up and said, And Lord, would you please kill that spider? That's what we need. We need that spider killed in our heart. We need not just, Lord, forgive me of this, take this away, and then to go out and do it again. Or we have those little secret skeletons in the closet, darling sins we want to hang on to. God says it's all got to go. You can't bring that with you to the kingdom. It can be a habit. It can be an attitude. It can be a tradition. It may even be something you're not even aware of as you're sitting here today. We must ask God to show us what we need to surrender to become the people that he wants us to be the church that he wants us to be, so that his power and his spirit can work through us to be a blinding light in our community. Reminds me of the great prayer of David's in Psalm 139, 23 and 4, where he said, Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. And know my thoughts. And see if there's any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Psalm 139, 23 and 24. Put it on your bathroom mirror. Put it throughout your house. It's a wonderful reminder of the attitude we need for God to be able to work in us. And friends, yes, this is a new start. You got a new face up here talking with you. And I'm honored to be here in Pastor Andre's shadow, and we're all going to miss him. But as he would even say, we're not home yet. We're all on a journey, and there's going to be changes. And even though it's a new year, I'd love to tell you it's going to be great. But I promise I won't lie to you ever. I believe this year is going to be harder than last year. Satan knows he has but a little time, and it's getting shorter. And I'm not talking politics, or I'm not talking COVID, I'm not talking pandemics, I'm not talking economy. I'm saying Satan is going to use everything he can to disrupt you and destroy your connection with God and get you focused on things of this world. It's going to be a harder year than last year, because it's going to keep getting that way until the Lord comes back. And friends, that's why I pray that we can pull together and give our hearts more sincerely to the Lord, that he can work through each of your lives and make you a changed person from what you sit in here today. Because, Lord, time is short. Satan's making war on God's remnant people already. on his remnant church. I read just this past week, I believe it was in India, they've all but got death laws out against Christians. In some sections of India it was. The time is coming. It is time to be serious about our time with the Lord. He's making war on God's remnant people and his remnant church. He's doing everything he can to destroy your belief in the church. Friends, remember I was here a few weeks back and we talked about Ahaziel and Jehu and Elisha, remember? Yeah, we need the spirit of Elisha. We need to be so connected with God and so much in tune with him that his character lives within you every day of your life. And through that, as we come together as a church, then he is glorified as his church. So don't be surprised what the new year brings. I don't mean to be sounding dark. I just read my Bible. But realize the only way that any of us is going to make it home is with our hand firmly and solidly in God's hand. And with that, he says, never fear. Thousands will fall on one side, 10,000 on the other. Don't fear the arrow that flies by day, things at night. No, don't worry about that. When you're in God's hand, Satan cannot destroy you. We're told, don't be afraid of those who can destroy the body. Be afraid of those who destroy the soul. Give your heart to the Lord, friends. And I pray that you will come more and more in tune to realize he has done absolutely everything he can to give you a wonderful new start. And we can rejoice in that this morning, because one day soon, that golden morning is going to be here. Sooner than we think. That golden morning is going to be here, and I pray we can all join hands together as we rise up to meet him. Won't that be wonderful? I think the only question today is, are you willing to take it? Let's turn to 205 and sing about the gleams of the golden morning. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the wondrous ways you provide for us, for your patience, for your never-ending love for your people, and your continual searching for us. As we look through history to see all the new beginnings you've given us, and Lord, we live in the end time. Lord, we have so much evidence of your love for us. Our hearts need to respond in complete fullness to that love. So, Father, we ask for your Holy Spirit power in our lives. Your wisdom and your knowledge we need so that we may become instruments in your hands to show those that there is a wonderful new beginning that's real and that's available yet for a short time. And Father, empower your people. Give us your spirit that we may be about thy work, glorifying you, leading others to know Jesus Christ. And yet, Lord, we pray, come quickly. We thank you in Jesus' most holy name. Amen.